Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6, or if you're listening elsewhere in the country on planetaudio.org.nz. We've got a cracking show ahead as usual on a beautiful Auckland day. God, that weather out there is fantastic at the moment, and I have to say it's been a great weekend of sports. I hope everyone's enjoyed themselves, had a good weekend. Decision day looming regarding alert levels for our COVID. Maybe the rest of the country will go into level one. Now, on the line, he's back just for this week. His golf handicap, I believe, has improved, and I believe his tan has really improved. 1987 World Cup winner, former All Black Bernie McCahill. G'day, Bernie. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Piggy. That suntan is getting better, I must admit, and the golf handicap's going worse.
Now the question I have to ask, obviously when you're down over on the barrier, there's obviously a fantastic listening group listening to this show.
Did you say there's a good group of people listening on the barrier?
Yeah. Oh, they'll be listening.
I'm sure they will be. They're sports nuts over there, so I'd be very surprised if they're not.
Yeah, well, I'd be very surprised. There'd be something wrong with them. Anyway, before we start ripping into the MPs, to the Mitre 10 Cup, last week, a mate of ours, both of us know him quite well, Phil Kingsley-Jones, he was known as the manager of Jonah Lomu, a comedian, but really a great guy. I've met Phil on a number of occasions, and, you know, he'll tell you the same joke, but they get funnier each time. I remember watching that TV series they had. It was kind of like a bio series on Jonah Lomu, and personally I felt that they really made Phil's character was made to be not looking that good. And then, of course, those that know Phil will know what a bloody great guy he was. And the old joke, the field's improving out there. The field looks good out there. Must be with all the crap you put up there every Saturday afternoon. But what's your thoughts on Phil? He was a champion bloke.
Oh, yeah, a larger-than-life guy. I remember way back when I was still playing, we're doing school visits, he was talking to us about how to prepare for speaking, you know, at schools and, you know, just being a bit more professional than just turning up. And he was just a great guy. Well, I'm not sure how many clubs he was involved with Auckland. I think he was involved with Mount Wellington and with Grammar.
Yeah, he was. He was involved with them.
Yeah, and then obviously a couple down in county. So he spread the love everywhere. And I was at the Barbars when he got inducted there about 5 years ago. And, of course, you give that guy a mic and no one else has got a chance. He just takes over the floor and has everyone in stitches. Characters like that are wonderful for the game and a big loss to the game, really.
Oh, I think he was really one of the real characters of New Zealand rugby, you know. Real funny bloke, but a real good bloke. Would give his time freely to a lot of charities, a lot of rugby clubs. He really was a club rugby bloke. People yep. tend to forget that. Now, moving on to the Mitre 10 Cup. Looks like yesterday's game, Auckland looked like they never got out of the changing rooms, Bernie.
It's hard to pick that. Just from where I'm sitting at home, they just looked like they didn't have the spark. You know, they just weren't there ready to play. And they needed to because Wellington brought it to them. And it shows when they were getting knocked over at ruck time and all those turnovers. That's just probably just a lack of getting into the game and being on top of it. So, yeah, they'd be disappointed with their performance, I'm thinking. You've got to wonder, are they tired after Super Rugby? But they shouldn't be, and Wellington are in the same boat. So at their own home, they should be a bit sharper than that. But maybe that's the lesson I'll take out of this game.
Yeah, I would have to say that I was really impressed with TJ Perenara. Looked really good there. Plus, I felt the Wellington Lucys were all over our Lucys, which was...
Yeah.
It was one of a quieter game for Hoskins. The 2-2 usually gives you 100%. They looked like it was just broken play. Wellington were able to attack. They seemed to direct us. Fortunately, the Auckland scrum was fairly solid, but yeah, we didn't look like we got out of the changing rooms yesterday, Bernie.
It's an old cliche. Like it looks like they didn't really want to win. Now that's a hard thing to say, but they didn't bring that enthusiasm to the game that needed to be there. So you've got to give all credit to Wellington because they're the ones who stopped Auckland playing. And got enough points to win the game. So it doesn't help when you throw the ball away the odd time. You know, Vince Arceau got the runaway from 50 metres and stuff. Yeah. That doesn't help a team or their confidence, but you've just got to knuckle down and get back into it.
Well, I think it's back to the basis now. Saturday, what a game of rugby that Ramfurly Shield match was. Taranaki 23, Canterbury 22. It was an absolute ding-dong battle. And I tell you something right now, if Lachlan Boshier isn't picked in that extended All Black squad, I might as well give up watching rugby, maybe go and play croquet or join a croquet club, because there's no, how the hell isn't he the best number? He's the informed number seven in the country at the moment, and there's no doubt about it.
Mate, he was outstanding. Like, you know, number of turnovers, I don't know how many he got himself, but he saved the day, really, just when Canterbury were back in the game and looking really hot, probably enough to sneak the win. He comes up with another steal. So what a game of footy. It was super. You've got to admire Canterbury, first of all, who are the team that never, ever say die, never give up. You know, Taranaki were all over them, really, in that first half and had the points to prove it. And it took till the 74th minute, was it, till they actually got back in front. It was a super game of footy.
Yeah, and it was a super kick by Geordie Barrett. Now, what was your opinions on the Bowden Barrett versus Mwanga matchup? Bowden Barrett made a telling break, which set up their third try. Richard Mwanga looked like he was trying to create stuff. If this was, say, a boxing fight or a fight, who would you give it to? I'd probably say it's close to a draw there.
Oh, mate, both guys are doing exactly what they need to get their teams around the track, and they're a threat everywhere. You've got to admire Richie Mwanga, because he got that team back in the game.
Yep.
You know, he started orchestrating stuff, but that's the sign of a really quality number 10. Who's better on the day? Well, if Bowden's team won, you have to give him the mark by half a point.
Yeah, you certainly do. Some interesting results. Waikato looked really, really good against North Harbour. Damien McKenzie's coming into a bit of form. He looked really good on the ball. Tasman had a good win over Northland, 54-21. Will Jordan, Sever Reese hat-trick. What else was there? Otago.
There's Otago, Manawatu.
Now, yeah.
That was the game. In my opinion, Manawatu had the chances, right? They did plenty of play, made plenty of play in that first half. They just didn't convert it, and 8 points wasn't enough. And then all of a sudden, you know, within 5 minutes, Otago scored two converted tries, and it's 14-8 before they knew what happened. And they should have been up by 20 points.
Yeah, wasn't it good to see Aaron Smith playing for Manawatu?
Oh, man. Yeah, is Aaron Cruden still injured, or was he?
No, he's in Japan.
Oh, okay. I thought because he played for them last year, didn't he?
No. He was contracted in France, so I believe that he's taken a contract in Japan.
Very nice.
It's probably worth the money. So that was a really good game. Hawke's Bay were pretty convincing over Counties Manukau, 31-17.
Yep.
Sam Kane made a great impact off the bench against for Bay of Plenty against Southlands, 17-14, and of course, I'm just making sure I've got all the results here. I believe that was all the results.
Did you call Northland? Did you say who did Northland
have? Yes, Northland lost to Tasman.
Hey, yeah, mate, that's right.
A superb broadcaster that I am. Well, kind of. But I'm just going to say that Shield match is going to be interesting. Of course, first challenge for Taranaki will be against Otago. That will be a fairly hard one. But in the next challenge would be Auckland, and we haven't seen the Ramfurly Shield up here for almost 12 years.
Is it that long now? Isn't it amazing when we owned it for a while, and you think you wouldn't be away from home that long? But anyhow, people won't agree with me.
Yeah, well, it was a very sad day for me, the 12th of September 1985, even though I was 13, and, you know. if we had a TMO, we may have actually got a penalty try at the end to keep the shield and break the
whistle. Stop that. Well, you want to go back to Bob Dean's days, do you?
Anyway, Bernie, it's been believe you're back on the barrier, spreading the word of the Piggy Sports Review on the barrier, which is
absolutely
great to hear, getting your handicap down. So we'll catch up with you in a few weeks' time. Hopefully, there will be announcements that maybe hopefully we're on level one and we can watch the All Blacks Wallabies at Eden Park on Sunday afternoon.
How good would that be?
Fantastic. Oh, sorry there. yeah, got something caught in my throat. Anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to give you a call later on today, Bernie. So I need to chat to you about something else. So I'll give you a call later on. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bernie McCahill, former All Black. He does our rugby review. He's away for a couple of weeks, but we will have somebody in his place. We'll just get on a bit of music.
Never knew how much I cared. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night.
Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, I'll fever all through the night.
Everybody's got the fever. Oh, that's just something that you should know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, tell about it.
Romeo loved Juliet.
Uh-huh.
Juliet, she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give it fever.
Fever, 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 yeah.
When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you.
Oh, fever, I'm on fire.
Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
She said, Daddy, Daddy, don't you dare. He gives me fever with his kisses, fever when he holds me tight. Fever on his missus.
That was Fever by Ray Charles here. We like to play a bit of funky music here on the Sports Review. So next up, we will be talking a bit of NRL, and of course, the man that joins me every Monday from North Canterbury and in the lower part of in the South Island. He's a good Cantabrian, a fantastic man for rugby league and a former Warriors and Kiwis coach. And it's a very good afternoon on this beautiful Auckland day, Frank. Frank Endicott, how the hell are you, mate?
Oh, I'm really good, thanks, Eamon. On a beautiful day in Christchurch with the blossom trees out. I've even got a couple of little rabbits on the lawn, I see. So, yeah, no, things are fine here.
Oh, that's great, mate. And of course, you might be going into level one come tomorrow. So that's a bit of good news. And you might be able to get crowds there to certain sporting events. Listen, before we start going into the NRL, and we spoke briefly off air, Roger Tui versus Sheck, obviously he's out for the season with a hamstring injury, but that's his last game for the Warriors for this season. Potentially, if the rumours are going around, it may be his last game for the club, because there is talk about there has been approach made to him from New Zealand Rugby to switch codes. You've probably got a few opinions. What's your opinion on this, Frank?
Well, for a start, this is the time of the year the rumour mill starts for 2021. So, you know, this will be one of many rumours about what players will do. But I think there could be some truth to it, in the sense that I think it will all hinge on whether the Warriors are based in Australia next year or not. Now, if they are, that might put pressure on Roger to make a decision to maybe stay home with the family and play in the New Zealand Rugby Union competition. I hope not. He's a fantastic rugby league player, world-class rugby league player, that actually suits his type of game. So it's a decision only he can make, but by gee, I, like many others, will hope he sticks with the sport of rugby league.
Yeah, well, I think I believe that everyone would be hoping that every Warriors fan, especially because he's been fantastic. Now, just on to the Warriors versus the Raiders. Fantastic. What a great first half of rugby league. And then eventually the Raiders just got away from us after Roger went off. But it's been, despite the loss, there was a few positives comes. The Warriors should take out of that. Peter Hicku, a double, which was, he's having a fantastic season. What were some of the thoughts from you, Frank, on this game?
Well, for a start, I actually enjoyed the game because the Warriors once again competed hard and didn't get the chocolates, as I say, seem to say every week, but very, very close. And you're right, they had a very good first half of the game against a very good Canberra side in Canberra. Always hard to win there, but the Warriors have got a good record there over the years. The only thing that worried me, Amon, was that at halftime, the Warriors had the major share of the football in the field position, but they couldn't turn it into points. And they let those last-minute tries in the first half go into Canberra, and it turned the whole game. But they certainly started well, and it all bodes well for next year.
It certainly does. It's, and hopefully, obviously we'll be probably playing in Australia. It's looking like that at this stage. Hopefully we can get something, some sort of, something to stop this virus, but vaccine or something. So, yeah, just some of the results. The Bulldogs had a good win over South, 26-16. A bit of a shock there. But the Panthers looked pretty clinical over the Cowboys, 32-12. Nathan Cleary looks, he's just looking on form, heading towards the final. They've got one hand on that minor premiership. What was your thoughts on that game?
Oh, I thought Panthers look a serious threat, don't they? And winning 32-12 against the Cowboys, a pretty average Cowboy side at the moment. But they sealed the minor premiership by winning that game, and you could see that they really enjoyed that after the game. But they're playing very good, and they're one of the top three I see as the grand final winner.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. Earl Sullivan went over the Broncos, 26-12. Titans had a great win over Manly, 42-24. Then we get to the Saturday games. The Roosters, 34, the Sharks, 18. The Roosters looked brilliant, but the Sharks were really giving them a bit of a good game until Sean Johnson's Achilles snapped. A real shame for the Sharks because I believe he would have had a big say on how far they would have got through in the playoffs.
How sad. He's still the leading player for try assists in the NRL this year, and would certainly have won that, and he still might. But so sad to see because it's a horrific injury that, and it didn't just injure it; he actually snapped it. And they were in the game up until then, but when he went off, they fell apart. And it was good to see Mitch Orbison in his last home game. I think he's had about 303 NRL games, which is a fantastic feat, all for the one club. And he scores a double, including the first try in the game. So I thought that was a real feature.
Yeah, and you've got to admire his loyalty. I was just going to say the Storm and Tigers match, it was close, and then the Storm just bolted away. Have to say, a guy that, I think's been a real, fairly underrated among that Storm team has been Jerome Hughes at scrum half, the young boy from Wellington. He had a really good game and really impressed with that. Oh, that Storm, I can understand why you like the Storm, because they just play a real great brand of rugby league. Brandon Smith is back from injury, so that makes them even better. So, Frank, I think the Storm, Roosters and Penrith, out of those three, yep, you're picking your NRL premiers.
Absolutely, you're right. I love watching Melbourne Storm. I mean, they tough it out in the middle. They defend so well, but the speed they have on their flank, especially the left flank, do car on the wing and the fullback coming in. I mean, it's blistering. And of course, Cameron Munster always seems to link up to the inside and last pass to score the try from it. But by gee, I love watching them. Every player knows his role. They've all got different jobs and they do them well, So they're going to be there again.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, like, yeah, it was great to see Brandon Smith out there. And, of course, there's a big Kiwi connection with that Melbourne Storm side, with the Bromwich brothers, Nelson Solomon Afoa, Jerome Hughes, Brandon Smith. So there is a real great Kiwi connection within that club. And I know a lot of Kiwis follow them because of that connection. The final game was the Knights were quite outstanding against St George. A guy that's a former Warriors player who I felt had a good game from what I could see was Mason Leno, kicked 7 goals. So, yeah, I was really impressed with him, and I think it's probably one that got away from us, but obviously that happens.
Of course it does, and players are always likely to burn you once they get shown the door. And I said last week, Sean Johnson done that to the Warriors. And Mason Leno's always been one of those players that's always had a top player in front of him for the position. But when he's been asked to come in, he always does the job. He's a very reliable little player and a goal kicker to boot. So, you know, he's gone well for the Knights, very well, and impressed me. But no one impresses me more than their fullback. Caelan Ponga is just absolutely out of this world. He's a brilliant performer and another player that young people turn up to watch. So, very, very good. I can't see them in the grand final, but they'll give a bit of cheek.
I'd say with Caelan Ponga there, he's just so dangerous at the moment. Now we come to our bet. Now, the bet this week is, Frank, because I need to gain a few points, is going to be the Roosters versus the Rabbitohs, which is a traditional fixture in Sydney. Now, because you've had the last two picks and done quite well, and because it's my show and I can make the rules, I'm going to pick first, so I'm going to pick the Roosters.
I thought you might go the Warriors Manly game that's more even.
No, it's traditional.
You're looking at saving a point here. That's all you're doing.
Well, listen, you know, we've got to be fiscal in this new world we live in, Mr. Endicott. Come on.
Okay. Well, look, I'll take South Sydney if that's the case, knowing that you're going to win the bet.
Oh, well, you might win the bet. You never know. There could be an upset. So, we're looking forward to the week ahead in NRL. Next week, before we go to playoffs, we're going to pick our first, well, it's going to be our Kiwi side.
I've already picked mine.
Yeah, but you might have to change some because it's those that are available, Frank.
Well, that's true because, you know who I had at number 7
and I've had to withdraw him because
of his injury, Sean Johnson.
And obviously Roger as well too. You would have had Roger too, he've asked to check at fullback.
I've got Roger in at fullback, but, you know, I heard that he's out of the Warrior season. I don't know about the Kiwi season. It all depends how bad it is.
Well, we will decide when our selectors, Piggy and Endicott, make their selection of what we would believe the Kiwi 17 to take on anyone. Frank, as per usual, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and I hope to speak to you next week as we get ready for an exciting playoffs in the NRL. Thanks a lot, Frank. I'll try and give you a call later on today, and we'll have a quick chat.
Thanks very much, Amon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Endicott. We'll just play a bit of music, then we've got some football next. Okay, everyone, so we're back. We're going to talk a bit of football. And, of course, he was away last week. He claimed that he had the flu and he sent me texts. I'm still ill. And, of course, Hamish McKay and I, we had our suspicions, but he's back. And I must admit, I did miss him. It's something I have to admit. But welcome to Brendan McNeice. Brendan, how are you, mate? How's your flu?
Oh, mate, it's the man flu. It's the man flu. You know, it's...
Are you sure it's not God's the booze flu?
Yeah, it's definitely the man flu. It was only the man flu. It's God's revenge for females having to go through childbirth is that we have...
Stop. We'll stop you there because I can see I'm going to get in a lot of trouble here. Anyway, thanks for that. That show I used to have. Anyway, listen, we might as well get on, talk about the Phoenix, a few departures in the last week or so. Stephen Taylor, Gary Hooper, Cam McCallett, obviously Kadachi, we already know was going to go. But mm-hmm. Do you see big losses for the Phoenix?
Absolutely. To my mind, you know, like Taylor and Hooper, you know, two seasoned professionals, you know, at both ends of the pitch. The big losses, and it probably was a little bit unrealistic to think that we could hang on to them in this COVID environment. Yeah. The whole thing's really, really quite messy, and then getting that sort of $1 million bailout, you know, to keep the Phoenix afloat from the government, which was obviously helpful, but it's a strange old world, Eamon. It's a very, very strange world.
Yeah, it certainly is, and of course, the big thing is that the Phoenix will be relying on government assistance, will be relying on TV rights for the A-League. So that's a real, you know, we really need to have the Phoenix in New Zealand. Is so important for football in this country. Anyway, I'll get on to the EPL. I tell you what, Liverpool looked very impressive against Chelsea. Mane, two goals.
Oh, yeah, show me the money. Absolutely, yeah. Fantastic performance by the champions, but really put sort of big spending Chelsea at home in their box. And really no surprise there. But the big surprise for me, really, was the shock result at Old Trafford with Manchester United losing it.
No, you didn't have to go there.
Yeah, Manchester United losing at home to Crystal Palace. You know, this will put even more pressure on the major figure of disdain there at Old Trafford, which is the pantomime villain known as the vice executive chairman, Ed Woodward, spending no money during the season. And the fundamental reality, Eamon, and you as a United man will have to realise and face up to this, is that they simply don't have enough good players. And rather than this tripe that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's triping out in the press this morning that the players aren't fit. Well, if they're not fit, it's your fault and the coaches and the support staff. So don't give us that old palaver that the players aren't fit. They're just not good enough.
It is complete and utter rubbish. And the thing is that they've had about a 2 or 3 week break. They've been playing football, so, you know, it just doesn't get to me. I tell you something, which I had a look at, Jaime Rodriguez, he must be, even at this early stage, the basement bargain buy of the season for Everton, because I tell you something, he looks outstanding, doesn't he?
Very, very, very good. And Everton, Crystal Palace and Leicester sitting proudly top of the Premier League. I know it is only 2 weeks in, Eamon, and it is early days. But, you know, one of the other things I've noticed really is that in the post-COVID environment is that the away teams now have got a much, much better chance. So up to 25% of the away teams now winning more than in the when we had the crowd. So it just shows you that having no crowd there nullifies that atmosphere. The Celtic players were actually in the press saying that playing at Celtic Park, you know, in front of nobody instead of 62,000 is eerie and a completely less joyful experience. I know you're pulling on the famous hoops, but it's still not the same when you've got that roar of the crowd behind you, and when things get tough, you know, you've got that extra motivation and passion behind you,
Well, the crowd's the extra player there, Brendan. Like, yeah, if you've got a good 50,000 or 62,000 at Celtic Park, 60,000 at Old Trafford, 50,000 at Anfield. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, and it gives you that slight edge. Some of the other results, Leeds had a good 4-3 win over Fulham. Arsenal looked very good over West Ham, 2-1. Now, Spurs, 5-2 over Southampton. Song scored 4 goals, and 4 assists came from Harry Kane. Now, that was quite a... Old Jose will be very happy.
He will be. He certainly didn't park the bus this time. But I was very happy myself, because I had Son in my fantasy football team. And also had my captain was Richardson from Everton. I had Alisson, who had a great game for Liverpool. Yep. So I'm actually sitting top of my fantasy football league. Only 2 weeks in his early days.
How many are in your fantasy football league, Brendan? Be honest. There's only two.
21.
Oh, that's not bad. We'll
have to send you an invite. We'll have to send you an invite, Eamon.
Well, somebody's got to finish last, I suppose. Anyway, of course, Leicester had a 4-2 win over Burnley, the club you don't think should be there. Chris Wood scored a goal. He's a very, very good goal poacher, Chris Wood. You know, he's not your classy striker, but you know he's worth 10 or 12 a season for you.
Oh, of course, at least. And the thing is that like I've always, you know, like being a man, like sort of brought up on a staple diet of the 70s and 80s, I love a big front man that you can aim at and put them away. But they probably need to have a little bit more arrows in the sling these days. You know, like you need to be able to beat a man. You need a fair bit of pace and you need to be putting away free kicks and all sorts of different things. It's a different skill set entirely now than it was, say, even 25 years ago.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, of course, your Celtic had a good 3-2 win over Livingston. And
it was a bit nervy. Because Livingston actually put up a very, very good display, but Celtic's quality told in the end, and it was 3-2. But our deadly rivals, the Glasgow Rangers, dropped 2 points up at Hibernian, and it's already the Rangers fans are getting stuck into Stevie Gerrard. You know, they're saying, you know, how can this be? We're having squeaky bum time in September. You know, they're calling him the Stevie the Butler, and so already the knives are out in September for Steven Gerrard at Rangers.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a surprise, because when you have a look at it, he's actually done wonders at Rangers.
Nobody hasn't won anything even.
Yeah, he might not have even won anything, because nobody's going to win. No, Brendan. Scottish football is always, at the moment, is Celtic. Then you might have Rangers, and then you might have Hibs. It's very much a 1-2-3 league. Obviously, we're going to have the Old Firm Derby, which I'm looking forward to. I might actually bring someone from the Celtic Supporters Club on the line to keep you in line, because, you know, stop you from getting a bit silly.
Absolutely. But Gerard, no, in all seriousness now, Eamon, and I do, you know, and you do make a lot of sense there, but this is his third season there. He hasn't reached the final, and he hasn't won anything. And, you know, there's a certain thing about the Glasgow, you know, team, because second is last in Glasgow, which, as you more or less articulated there. So they won't, if he doesn't actually deliver something this season, it's au revoir, Mr. Slippy Jake.
And, of course, tomorrow we get to have our first look at Manchester City versus Wolves and Aston Villa versus Sheffield United. Now, that's going to be quite interesting to see.
Absolutely.
What Manchester City.
Absolutely. I've got young Jimenez from Wolves in my fantasy football team as well. And I'm hoping he can get me over the 100 points mark for this season. Wolves, of course, qualified last year for the Europa League. And, you know, they've actually got a good setup there. And when you get a crowd inside Molyneux for some of those Midlands derbies against the likes of Villa and Birmingham and the West Brom, they can be very, very passionate affairs. And it's good to see an old club like Wolves doing so well. I remember back in the 70s, players like Derek Dugan and McKelly Hogg and players of that ilk. And Wolves certainly add something to the Premier League.
Yeah, they certainly do, and I have to say their manager's one of the better managers in the Premier League. Anyway, Mr. McNeice, so what else have you been doing? You know, obviously tomorrow we're hoping that the country goes into rest of the country goes into level one. You no longer have to social distance.
No, that's absolutely no. Let's hope so. Let's hope so that we're on the way to recovery, because the economy needs it, sport needs it, our spirits need it, we're absolutely blessed in this country to be not as plagued with this horrible thing like the rest of the world is. I talk to people in England and Ireland, and it's just horrible, because like in Dublin now they're talking about going back into level three, and the pubs and the restaurants and the whole social scene in Dublin, as you well know, it's very, very vibrant when it's going good.
Oh,
and it's just dreadful. It's just absolutely horrible, and it's hurting a lot of people. So let's just either hope that it clears up or we get a vaccine or whatever. But I'm still glad I'm living at this end of the world.
Yes, and I might be down for the first Bettislow Cup tests in Wellington. So I'll be good man. I'll give you a call, so you don't have to make excuses like you do every Friday to Mrs. McNeice. I've got to go to work, Grinch, which start at 5. It's only 5 to 7, and we all know that you're out of the office at 2:30.
Well, yes, it's actually 2:30.
As usual, you entertain us, and we will hear from you next week, Mr. McNeice.
No problem, Squire.
And I will be speaking to you off here and if I'm coming down, I'll have a chat to you off here so that we can catch up on the Friday.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, more than welcome, Eamon. And keep up the great work. It's a great show, and make sure you keep the nation entertained.
I always do, mate. I am probably the most entertaining thing they've ever seen. Anyway, thank you very much, Brendan. Have a great day.
Same to you, boss.
Cheers, mate. And that was Brendan McNeice. We'll just play a bit of music and we'll go to the panel next.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake me. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of. Love is the drug for me. Oh,
Love is a doggone hook in me. Oh, get that buzz. Love is the dog I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see? Love, the drug for me.
Come to the fun part of our show. Our panellists are both on the line, both waiting eagerly to give their opinions on what has happened in the sporting weekend. And first of all, a welcome to the Mercurial, marvellous Mark Watson. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Afternoon to you, Sean.
Yes,
g'day, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, and happy birthday for Friday for our own silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Summerfield. How the hell are you, mate?
I'm grand, thanks. Grand.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't get an invitation to your 40th, Sean.
Crowd numbers, mate, there was nothing.
Yeah, plus you know, if Watson and Hallisey went to Summerfield's party, there would we social distancing would just be naturally. They'll keep away from both of us.
Correct.
Yeah, anyway, Sean, I was going to great news this morning. Le Mans 24-hour race, a real traditional race. Brendan Hartley and, of course, Scott McLaughlin over the weekend in supercars.
Yeah, very, very interesting weekend. We'll hit with Le Mans first, and it's so Le Mans was 250,000 people are normally at that event. It is an incredible, incredible race. I've been absolutely blessed to have covered it three times and been there when Earl Bamber won, and it was just amazing. He went on to win the second time with Brendan Hartley. Brendan's now with Toyota, who are the last manufacturer team left in what they call LMP1. That means Le Mans Prototype 1. These are the hybrid sort of hypercars. There's another level, Prototype 2, which actually use engines similar to the old A1 GP cars. And then there's the LM GTE, which is GT Endurance, cars like Ferraris, Porsches, and Aston Martins, and Corvettes, and all that sort of thing, sports cars that you'd see on the road. So there's the classes. Anyway, Brendan won with the Toyota. The sister car had mechanical problems, lost half an hour. So it was a pretty straightforward victory for Brendan. Just awesome to see him win that race again. Once again, show what a class act he is. Interestingly, all three of his teammates had driven in Formula One at some stage, so they had some real experience in that. And the other thing we got excited about, my work, was Aston Martin also won the sports car two classes, so that was quite cool. But on to the supercars on the weekend, and interesting, there's a lot of excitement, guys. We had race two on weekend, first place Shane van Gisbergen, second place Andre Heimgartner, third place Scott McLaughlin, fourth place Fabian Coulthard. It's a Kiwi 1-2-3-4, which is just something really, really amazing. Fabian won the first race two of the weekend. Now, you mentioned Scott McLaughlin. He won race three. Fabian was second. And Jamie Wincup, who you noticed I haven't mentioned so far, was third. So Scott took a lot of points out of him on the weekend, about 72 points. He now leads by 215 points. So they're back in the next round, again, at the shorter track at Adelaide, or Tailand Bend in South Australia. If he gets another 85 points, so pretty much if Jamie Wincup, he wins all the races and Jamie was to not finish one race or finish in fifth and sixth, which is entirely possible, Scott has actually wrapped up the championship before Bathurst. So I've done some maths on that, guys. It wasn't easy for me. I luckily had some help. Mathematically right now, Cam Waters, Chas Mostert, Shane van Gisbergen are mathematically in the running, but within a couple of races, they'll be worse than a lot of chance. They won't do it. So it's really between Jamie and Scott, and it's Scott's to lose right now. So looking very good. That'd be a third straight championship. And if he's got nothing to lose at Bathurst, which is his goal, to wrap it up and then just go for broke at Bathurst, not worry about the championship. So he won't care if he, you know, worry about finishing second to get the points. He'll be going for first. That could be back-to-back Bathurst as well.
That's fantastic. And, of course, the rumour is it, now, I did see something in the news. Is he going to be racing in IndyCars at the...
Yeah, they've been trying him at that. He did very well in the test. He did well when they did the virtual racing. But Penske obviously loved the guy. He's a top guy. I've got no shame in saying he's one of my favourite drivers ever. And he's a good bloke as well. And he's also pretty damn quick. In fact, we've seen that. And people can see he's in a very good car this year, but so is his teammate, so is a bunch of other people in the Mustangs. So... yeah, I think wherever he goes, he's going to do pretty damn well. I'd have loved to see him in NASCAR, guys. I reckon he would have done all right.
Yeah, Sean, a couple of things for me. I see, talking about NASCAR, I see Jimmy Johnson's also coming to race with Scott Dixon next year, who I think has won, what, NASCAR on seven occasions. So that's a huge coup for the sport in terms of maybe shifting that fan base that's purely NASCAR and saying, hey, we'll have to dabble in a little bit of Indy here as well. And, you know, I think that's got to be good for both sports. But just getting back to Brendan Hartley, it always amazes me just how little coverage Earl Bamber and himself have got in terms of winning Le Mans 24. Now, look, I follow my motorsport, not anywhere near the degree you do, Sean, but you know, I always understood that the triple crown of motorsport was the Monaco Grand Prix, was the Indianapolis 500, and was Le Mans 24. And I think it might only be Graham Hill, I think, is one that may have won all three.
You're on fire, mate. You're dead on. And he did it in a calendar year.
Yeah, and very few people have done it. And you look at this year in terms of sport, you look at the Halberg Awards coming up, and at the moment it's looking very much like motorsport should dominate them. But I just hope that our media people here and those on the panel go and do the due diligence, go and do the research on the history of this event and actually start recognising what we are actually doing. Because sometimes we sort of get caught up in sports. And let's be honest, the world famous here in New Zealand, they don't have a genuine global point of view. And, you know, Brendan Hartley, he's done it tough. He's been a toiler, but to win Le Mans, I mean, it's one of the great iconic events, isn't it?
Oh, mate, that's what I said, 250,000 people, and strangely, it's a very British event, even though it's there in France. And, I mean, I've been to sporting events, Rugby World Cups, of, you know, been to some really cool, you know, I was really lucky with my previous job at 3. And, but, Le Mans is just something special. Although the single biggest day, you mentioned it, is in the Indy 500, because that is just, no one does anything bigger than the Americans. But, you know, these sports are big, and the sports car racing, Le Mans lost a little bit because you haven't got Porsche and Audi fighting there now. That's sort of taken a little bit of that shine away, but it's still an amazing event. And, you know, Brendan, you know, he's been doing simulator work for Ferrari, for Mercedes. He's a class act. Probably not quite the timing in Formula One wasn't right. You know, you can ask all these questions and that, but if you ever look at his CV, and it's completely phenomenal, and what he does in sports cars, because he was with that whole Porsche thing with Mark Webber from the start, and you know they went on to dominate Le Mans until they sort of retired, and he is something really special. And then, you know, what Scott Dixon's doing this year, you know, going into his fifth decade, it's pretty damn impressive. And then you've got, you know, Scott McLaughlin. And we also see the strength of Kiwis there, and this is the problem, that you could have a couple of Kiwis justifiably be in that final lot for the Halbergs, and they are athletes. These guys are super fit now. You can't fake it. You know what they do in the cars. They're genuine athletes. They just maybe can't catch a ball too well.
That was very, very interesting, and they are genuine athletes. Hey, guys, what did you reckon of that Ramphilly Shield match at the weekend? What a cracking game.
Yeah, look, I it was a nice sort of a throwback to a bygone era, wasn't it? And really good that a player like Beauden Barrett can put that on a CV, because very, very few All Blacks in the last 20 years, high-profile rugby players in this country, they can say they've won everything, but you can actually put a Ramphilly Shield next to their name, where in the 70s, 80s, and, you know, a lot of the 90s, the great players were involved in the great Ramphilly Shield eras, the Zinzan Brooks, the Christian Cullens, you know, in the early part of his career. So I was just thrilled that the likes of a Beauden Barrett could sort of lift the Ramphilly Shield and play an instrumental part in it. But again, a little bit like just mentioned, maybe the gloss had gone off Le Mans a little bit. The gloss has definitely gone off the Ramphilly Shield. And I think previous administrator Steve Chu, Steve Hansen, should be ashamed of himself, to be perfectly honest. We've placed so much emphasis on the Rugby World Cup. We've placed so much emphasis on the All Blacks, so much emphasis, well, a convenient emphasis at times on Super Rugby, that I think, you know, provinces have really been sort of snubbed. And I just sort of hope that, you know, through this COVID, we gain sort of form new habits, or just go back to some old habits and start really sort of getting back and cherishing those historical sort of trophies of New Zealand rugby.
Mark, you're dead on with that, because in the end, sport largely is about romance, because it doesn't actually make our lives better. It just makes us feel better. And as far as spectators, that is. And look, I was in 1985, I was a young fella standing on the sideline, 50,000 people at Lancaster Park when Auckland took the Shield away. And to me, it was that sort of game, a team coming. Canterbury were, you know, nothing after the first half, and they almost came back and did it. Exciting finish. And I've got to say, there must be something literally in the water or something in Taranaki, because it's not just the Barrett brothers who are doing great in that team. And, mate, I'm just loving Lachlan, mate. That is watching a...
The form number seven, like Josh in New Cromwell. Zealand.
Yeah. He's got to be an All Black.
I would be absolutely... I'd be stunned if he's not. It would just...
Well, let's just hope he doesn't end up being this generation's Dwayne Monkley. You know, we've seen some wonderful players over the years miss out. And we've arguably, I mean, it's always subjective, but we've probably seen some lesser players who've gone on to become All Blacks. And I'm not sure what they don't see in Lachlan Boshier, because this guy is X Factor right across the park. And, you know, most other countries around the world put all X Factor into 10 and out on the wings. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, one of the big points of differences in New Zealand rugby historically has always been in the number 7 jersey. And it's not a place for genuine, it's a place for X Factor.
He's a burglar. Forget all the flashy stuff. They go in there, like the old Navy SEAL breaching through the door, and they don't care what they're in there to get the prize, and that's what he's doing, and that's the sort of the loose forward you dream of when you have your junior team as a coach sort of thing. Just fantastic.
He certainly is, guys. Mark, just what has spun your wheels over the sporting weekend or the sporting weekend ahead?
Look, I'll still just go back to a little bit of English Premier League that has kicked off second week. My boys, Liverpool, tough game, second game up, Chelsea away. Those two teams are the two teams that have played the most in the history of English First Division and Premier League since the turn of the century. And it's, Liverpool winning that one 2-0 and played very, very well indeed. But I guess some of the other big news is Gareth Bale, who, you know, was one of Tottenham Hotspur's great players sort of from, you know, the 2000 through to 2010, is back at Spurs after having spent the last 10 years with Real Madrid, where he won four Champions League trophies. He's never really got on with the manager, Zinedine Zidane. And so, you know, he's come back to Spurs, and so that was a big, big news over the weekend. And with him and Harry Kane up front, you know, Tottenham Hotspur fans, I think, have got a lot to be optimistic about. But look, I just love the fact in that league anybody can beat anyone. I've got to say, and Sean, you'll probably, you've mentioned the number of people that normally turn up to Le Mans, but it is hard watching football, it is hard watching sport, and the US Golf Open played out this morning without crowds. Just lacks something, doesn't it?
Isn't that funny, because they're some of the quietest sports fans out, but you do miss them. And I don't know if you heard Brendan McNeese there, but he said, was it a 25% improvement in away teams winning in the Premiership? Without crowds. So the crowd actually has a role to play in sport.
Certainly does. And I have to say, you know, I'm finding it really weird watching the EPL. I actually found even watching Auckland play in Wellington yesterday absolutely weird. It just didn't have the crowds in there. And hopefully, of course, with the rest of the country going into level one as of midnight tonight, hopefully we'll be able to get crowds for those Bettislow Cup tests.
Yeah, I'm waiting for those tickets to go on sale, because I don't know about you guys, but I am hungry to be part of a crowd again. Watching sport, getting a taste of it when things came right, was just amazing.
Well, it's just good. I mean, the country just needs a bit of an uplift, and sport does that more so than anything else in this country. And whether it be the All Blacks, whether it be the America's Cup. And I've got to say, I was a little bit miffed that, you know, last week after a little bit of electioneering, that sort of Jacinda Ardern suddenly made it a little bit more accessible for the Wallabies and certain teams to travel to this country, which I did find a little bit sort of hypocritical. But then, hey, that's the power of rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, it's a shame the Championship isn't here, because I think if they actually keep an eye on the border properly and everything, we'd be squeaky. I know they're worried about, you know, some of the other countries, but if it's done right, it would have been just, but hey, that's all in the past now. Let's just hope that nothing thwarts this Bledisloe, because I think there's a lot of anticipation and people are desperate for this to happen, because it's normalcy, and we need that right now.
We certainly do.
And I know we've got to wrap it up, but also too, hopefully off the back of this decision, that then opens the doors for other sports. We might see some tennis here in January. You know, I'd love to see the Australian Baseball League go ahead in this country. I'd imagine there are a lot of sports looking at what's happening with the All Blacks and that Grant Robertson and whoever the government will be, sort of say, you know what, sport does have a whole lot of intangibles that you can't necessarily quantify in terms of money, in terms of the mood of a nation, and therefore, you know, maybe looking at a method and a way in which we can allow sporting events to go ahead. And I'd imagine cricket will be another one wanting to see how